Bo has.
And now the end is near.
Bo.
Felger and Mass. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
I think the lead takeaway from our earlier Red Sox conversation is that Mass thinks the Sox should be in on Manny Machado, even though Dan Duquette, the GM there in Baltimore, won't let teams talk to Machado or his agent. So it's a one-year rental. Machado is an unrestricted free agent after next year, after which he will command perhaps a 10-year, $400 million contract. I mean, he's going to be in the range of that. It's going to be something like that.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll be quite that high. He's going to be less than Harper, I think. But I'd do it.
It'll be a big one. So, but no guarantees you sign him. It's a one-year rental because Baltimore won't let you talk to Manny Machado or his agent. But he's out there as a one-year rental. So would you give anything up for Manny Machado for 1 year, and what would you give up? Maz, you'd give up Eddie Rodriguez?
Yep.
And you'd give up DeGrom?
Yep.
Or is it Groom?
Jay Groom. Yep, I'd give up both of those guys. Absolutely. Because I just look at it again.
For one year?
Yeah, I'd take a shot. I would.
Would you give up Xander Bogaerts for 1 year of Manny Machado?
Yep.
1 year.
I would.
That's too much.
No. I told you, I'm done with Bogaerts. I'm done. I feel like, okay, you know, we're far enough in here, right? We should have a pretty good idea what he is. I'm done there.
You get him here for 1 year in this market, you have to believe that Dave Dombrowski can convince him to sign a long-term deal.
Wait, so now I have faith in Dave Dombrowski on that?
Well, it's a little bit shaky, but, you know, you sell him.
Isn't the faith really in the little leader because he's texting buddies with Machado?
Either way, I do it too. I mean, you get a legitimate big bat in the lineup. He's, what, 24 years old? And you get the sex appeal that you lack.
So, look, normally I would tell you never in a million years. I would normally tell you never in a million years. For 1 year, I'll wait until the end of the season, then I'll sign him as a free agent. Why the hell would I trade for him now? And I would tell you because this team is built for a small window. And at the end of the year, Kimbrel's up, Pomeranz is up, David Price could opt out. Then who knows what the hell you're going to be left with, and who knows what the value on some of these young guys is going to be. So I would say, you know what? If it can put me on a level where I think I can win a championship by adding him to this lineup, I'll take a crack at it. Yes, I will absolutely give it a shot, and I'll roll the dice that I can re-sign him and keep him here.
That was one Red Sox take. The other one was this report from Mike Silverman that the Sox want both Hosmer and J.D. Martinez, and that makes me want to throw up down my shirt. The Hosmer thing I'm okay with. I like Hosmer. He brings what you need to this team, which is a little bit of a winning quotient. So I've always been okay with Hosmer. J.D. Martinez, no. The more I think of it, the more I'm out on J.D. Martinez. And that whole thing of throwing a lot of money at Hosmer and Martinez, which between them will cost you at least $40 million a year, just reeks to me of going after two ponies versus the horse that is Giancarlo Stanton. So don't throw good money after bad. Take your beating and reload next year and go get Bryce Harper or go get Manny Machado for nothing as a free agent, if that's what it takes. Do not make a bad deal just to chase the Yankees because you got pantsed. That's the other one. So, back to your phones. We'll mix in all your thoughts on that and the Steelers. Here's Tim in the car. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'll be quick on the Red Sox. Felger, I totally agree with you. I want nothing to do with J.D. Martinez. He reeks of being a fraud. What I want to do is I want to sign Harper. I also want to sign Lorenzo Cain. He'd be cheaper than J.D. Martinez. And then you can flip Bradley in a package. And I agree with Maz. I want Machado. I give up Bogaerts, Bradley, Groom, Erod.
Hey, Tim.
Yeah.
Do you know how long Lorenzo Cain's been in the major leagues?
He's been a while. I know he's 30 years old, I think he is.
Yeah, eight years. You know how many home runs he has?
I know. He doesn't have a lot, but he's actually had more pop later in his career. He plays in a pitcher's ballpark in Kansas City. He's a .290 career hitter. He had 300 last year. He's won a World Series. He's a winner. This Red Sox team, they've thrown up on themselves in the playoffs. They're in need of some culture. They need winning environment. I think Hosmer was the best player on a World Series team. You bring both guys in, winning players. You improve your team. And you can flip Bradley and put him in that Machado package.
Okay, see, I just think Kane's too much like Bradley.
So I like Kane. He's a good player. He does hit for a more consistent average, right? 300 hitter, all of that.
But no pop.
He's got two fewer home runs in his career than Giancarlo Stanton had last year. Okay? He hit 15 homers last year. His career high is 16. He hit 9 in between those 2 years. They don't need Lorenzo Cain. I like him as a player, but they got to find more pop than that.
J.D. Martinez, again, totally scares me. He's released 3-4 years ago, and now he's hitting 45 bombs, 26 of which came in the second half of his free agent year, and he's 30. That reeks to me of too inconsistent or loading up for a free agent year and not being able to sustain it or whatever the case may be. I want nothing to do with J.D. Martinez. Here's Tom in the wonderful island of St. Barts. Tom, how you doing?
Absolutely, Felger. That was the best vacation I ever went on was St. Barts. Did I hear you right? Did you congratulate a guy for getting his prostate taken out?
Yeah, it was a weird comment. he was so proud of it. Are you saying you're on St. Barts right now?
No. I go there on vacation.
You don't get to say you're on St. Barts. What, Tom, what's your take on the Patriots?
Well, a couple things. You said it exactly right as far as Pittsburgh is committed to a zone blitz defense. That's who they go after. They put emphasis on their defensive line and their linebackers, not so much on the quarterbacks, except for the last couple of years. They're moving more towards a 4-3. Last year, they didn't have Cam Hayward playing, their top defensive rusher. They've got him and Tuitt, who your friend Bedard said are excellent, okay, as far as tops in the league. The big difference over last year is how much more firepower Pittsburgh has on the offense. I mean, the last year, once Bell went out, they had nobody because you just totally could take Brown out. They had no receivers behind him. They had a guy, Hamilton, off of the practice squad.
Okay, so they're a little deeper offensively. But the thing defensively, he's saying, is even if they switch it up, Maz, and play the way you should play defensively, is that in their nature? Is that what they do? So to play you the right way, they have to be out of character.
Which, I see what you mean.
Which, again, would concern me.
Right. You build a team a certain way with guys that play a certain role, and then all of a sudden you're going to change it.
Right. And it's like, well, that usually doesn't work. If you're multiple and varied and you change up week to week and you can do different things, and then you do that thing against the Patriots, then okay. Like I think Rex Ryan's defense used to be, he used to spin the dial, as Bedard would tell us. But the Steelers don't do that. But if they're going to do it this game out of nowhere? I have no faith that Mike Tomlin can oversee that sort of thing for even 1 week.
Okay, listen, how can I tell you that I have confidence that he can do it? Because they haven't. But again, I go back to that AFC Championship game last year, and that was such a shredding by the Patriots that I can't imagine you would possibly go back to your players and say, we're going to do it again. I can't believe that. And so, now look, I don't eliminate the possibility because I think the Steelers are stubborn and they're stupid. Which oftentimes is the same thing, that we are who we are, we're just going to do it better, okay? So, but I also look at it and say, they did go out and get Joe Hayden. Now, again, I don't know if Hayden can play or not. I don't know if he's healthy or not. But that suggests to me that they looked at that game and said, we got to shake it up a little bit, and we got to do something we don't typically do. So we're going to go out and get a cover corner. And by the time we get to the Patriots, maybe we can do some other things. If they just do the same thing again, then I will be at the point that you're at right now.
And Murray, just because you vacation in Aruba does not mean you're allowed to call us and say, this is Murray calling from Aruba.
Yeah, what the hell's that?
That doesn't work that way.
Liar.
It just doesn't work that way.
Shady.
Yeah, just like you're calling from like some exotic locale, but no, I just vacationed there last year.
Trying to look like a big shot for your buddies, and you call the show.
Yeah, this is Maz. I'm calling from Bali.
It's like saying you're in on players when you're really not.
Yeah, it's a manipulative move. But tell the truth. Did you punch him up because it said same parts?
A little bit.
See?
Yeah.
It worked.
Yeah, it did. It worked in his case.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Thanks for ending your workday with Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dumb move.
And streaming at CBSBostonSports.com.
You guys did get some criticism for looking ahead to the Patriots game, but you guys are also still on a long winning streak right now. Is that kind of a sign that you don't necessarily have to act like the Patriots or be the Patriots to be successful in the NFL?
You know, I don't know that any of us were looking ahead, to be quite honest with you. That's the way it was described by you guys. We were simply answering questions. We were doing our professional due diligence. When we do interviews and people ask us about potential big games down the road, we're going to politely answer questions and do so honestly. That's not us looking down the road. That's us simply performing our professional duties.
And some people saying his response as a shot at the Patriots that, well, you know, we're just doing our job. It's professional to be asked a question and to answer it. we don't hide from that, and we don't skirt our responsibilities there, where the Patriots do. Some have taken that as a shot against the Patriots. Do you agree?
Yep. I mean, look, it's not entirely a shot at the Patriots. Like, it's not the whole reason he said it. But part of what he said was a shot at the Patriots. Like, and that little part in the middle there, he said, you know, when someone asks us a question, you know, we're going to answer it. Like, as if to say, they don't, we do. So, yes, I think that was absolutely a shot at the Patriots. Do you?
A little bit. I just wish he had more success against the Patriots, so then you could say, well, see, both ways do work. He's just not the guy to do it. He's gotten his ass kicked by this team. Lost 8 of the last 9 to the Patriots. So whatever they're doing isn't working, is just my feeling on that.
And a lot of these games haven't been that close.
No. And you've walked out of them. But usually I walk out of a Steelers game saying, do those guys have a clue? How can they be that good for that long and be a good organization and have no flipping clue? That's how I feel about most of those games against the Steelers. It's just too easy for Brady most of the time. I still have this scratch ticket giveaway to give you. I'm sorry. I forgot to do it last segment. The lottery scratch ticket giveaway coming up in just a few. And if I forget to give it this segment, again, Maz has the right to slap me across the face.
Which I can defer and use at a later date.
And you can trade the chip as well. This will be eligible. This is one free slap across the face to whoever holds the ticket.
Ooh, that's a good bargaining
chip.
So
if I toss to the update without giving this away, I get slapped. Tomlin, though, when I listen to Tomlin, you Beadle and Zoe, they do their fair share of impressions.
Yes.
But by far my favorite impression that they do is they do a Mike Tomlin that I think is so, and you don't really get it there in the conference call because Tomlin isn't at the podium, but there's a lot of times where Tomlin comes to the podium and he's projecting to the back of the room and he's angry because maybe they just lost or he's pissed off at something and he's just got this, like, this bark at you coach speak that I've always noticed and always sort of, like, laughed at, but I've never heard anyone do a Tomlin until Beadle and Zoe took it on. You ever hear Beadle and Zoe do a Mike Tomlin?
No, but I'm eager to hear it.
Oh, it's awesome. Jimmy, give me some examples.
I'm going to tell you everything about the injuries. I'm going to tell you he's got a left MCL sprain of the third degree.
He's already had his scan. He's going to have another one tomorrow. He will not practice on Wednesday. I'll tell you right now, he's going to be questionable for the game, but he will play.
The evaluation of the third tobacco, a metatarsal of the exterior of the hand. Ben's got a sore elbow, but it should not keep him sidelined. Should be okay. Got to get some ice on that.
Yep.
Trainers have already looked at it.
Well, ice
doctor
count.
Said he is fine.
The perspiration that was leaking slipped.
If you're preparing to play our team next week, prepare to play him. I'm telling you 100% he will be there.
So Beatles is the best.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's good. He's got
I'm going to tell you everything about the injuries. I'm going to tell you he's got a left MCL sprain.
They're also mocking this thing that Tomlin was just sort of saying, that we answer your questions. They do.
Yeah.
They'll tell you what the injuries are, and they'll tell you, you know, and again, the thing Hardy was mocking, like, the injury report was out.
Why are you doing it? He's already had his scan. He's going to have another one tomorrow. He will not practice on Wednesday. I'll tell you right now, he's going to be questionable for the game, but he will play.
Like, Tomlin had this thing where they'll list a guy as questionable, but when they ask him on Wednesday, he'll say, no, he'll play. So, well, why are you listing him as questionable? But it's like the Steelers take that answering the question thing sometimes too far.
Ben's got a sore elbow, but it should not keep him sidelined. Should be okay. Got to get some ice on that.
Yep.
Trainers have already looked at it.
Well, ice
doctor
count.
Said he is fine.
The perspiration.
Oh, Beto's got the inflection down, man. He does. I agree.
The
Tomlin. I'm going to tell you everything about the injuries. I'm going to tell you he's got a left MCL sprain.
Oh, I heard that. Like, no one does a Tomlin. No one's even talking to it.
A sore elbow, but it should not keep him sidelined. Should be okay. Got to get some ice on that.
Yep.
Trainers have already looked at it.
Well, ice
doctor
count.
Said he is fine.
So anyway, I just thought
that
play
is that. Great.
Jeff in Georgetown, what do you got, Jeff?
Hey, the Steelers, forget it. Felgie, you're right on the money here, okay? No shot. I heard the same stuff last year. Got all geared up, sat down, and had to watch that big wet fart they put out in front of everybody.
How do you go, Jeff, how do you go into an AFC Championship game with no game plan? Because that's essentially what they did. They went into an AFC Championship game without a game plan.
And what did the Pats do? They didn't let the defensive line go up the field. So now Le'Veon Bell had to stand there and look at no holes. And that was it. Game, set, match. Fold it up. Let's get out of here. It's over.
Well, Bell also got hurt. I'm just talking defensively. Defensively, they had no wrinkle. They had no game. It just, we're going to play our shell. I mean, that's all they did. There was no game plan.
Yeah, to me, that is the whole key to the game. Is if Pittsburgh just comes in and does Zabble, then forget it. Because it'll render Le'Veon Bell useless. They're not going to stop the Patriots if they do that. And so Brady's going to go down and get touchdown after touchdown after touchdown. And then what are they going to do? Hand it off to Le'Veon Bell 35 times?
Exactly my point.
See, I still think that Bell being a big part of this game is important to Pittsburgh because I'm with you on the Antonio Brown thing. There's no
way
that
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown. They are not going to let Antonio Brown catch 15 balls for 190 yards. That's just not going to happen. And honestly, I question Pittsburgh's other weapons in the passing game. I don't know how good their other receivers and tight end really are. But Bell's legit. And if they can make Bell a big part of the game plan.
No. If it's close, Bell's a factor. No question.
They got to keep the game close. And to me, that starts on their defense. If they let the Patriots score, they're going to be running uphill the whole day, and Bell's useless.
We've got Paul in New Hampshire on the Red Sox offseason. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Mike, thank you. It's actually Murray from Aruba. But listen, hey, Tony, could you be more disingenuous? First of all, earlier in the show, a guy talked about trading a third baseman. He mentioned the name Chavez. If I'm not mistaken, that's a minor league prospect, and you went off about the current third baseman. Secondly, you guys don't like to talk about money. It's not our money. He loves Hosmer, Tony does, but not for $25 million. And lastly, Machado was a jerk. I didn't want David Price because he was a jerk. I don't care how good these players are. I don't want jerks on this team because I don't root for laundry, Mike.
You don't want jerks?
Well, you're going to have jerks.
A-holes. I don't want a-holes. Machado's an a-hole.
Too late. You have David Price.
I didn't want him either. I don't want a-holes on this team. I like to root for players that I like. And you know what? Mookie Betts, I like. Benintendi, I like. I would get rid of the shortstop. I like him a lot. He's a great person, but he hasn't lived up to standards. But I want to root not just for laundry, but for players I like.
Okay, well, that's just being picky now.
Paul, I hate to break it to you, pal, but Benintendi's a little bit of an a-hole. He's a little bit of an a-hole. That's part of the deal. And so I would tell you, do you want Bryce Harper? Because he's an a-hole, but he's a good a-hole. He's a talented a-hole. Like, I'll take that guy. And look, I want to go back. When the caller said Chavez, I didn't know who he was talking about. He's telling me it's Chavis.
Chavis.
I didn't connect that. So I'm sorry. That's my mistake. I admit that. I didn't know what he was talking about. I thought he meant Devers and said Chavez. It didn't even occur to me that he meant Chavis.
Yes, that's right.
So, I don't think Chavis is good enough to get you anything. I mean, maybe he is, but he's another one that you got to clear your throat on every time you talk about him.
Oh, yeah? He's out of nowhere?
Well, he was a first-round pick that did nothing in the minor leagues. All of a sudden, last year, is an OPS pushing 1,000? Where did that come from?
Pure hard work.
So, like, I look at that one and I say, something changed there. All of a sudden, overnight, he turned into a stud.
He learned power, as they like to say. Rich in East Bridgewater. Hi, Rich.
Hi, guys. It's a long time, no talk, but I want to show a little shout-out to Jim Murray, the only honest sports analyst left in America, I believe, because he's saying that Pittsburgh is going to win this game. I say they're going to win this game because not only going to win, they're going to win by 14 to 20 points. I tried to get a hold of you guys last week against Miami because everybody knew what was going to happen. You know, real Patriots fans. This front seven is pathetic. Russell Burgers, he's going to go wild. He's going to go wild against this defense. And Branch is gone, so that means Le'Veon Bell is going to go wild. And Brady, let's face it, he's got Achilles, he's got a hand. And last week when he was being interviewed just before the game, he was obviously had the flu. And nobody brought it up. And you watch the game, and it was just a horrible situation.
Yeah, he was horrible. Okay, Rich has a lot of the answers. Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger. I mean, those are my people. Those are the guys that are shouting out Jim Murray. An analyst? I don't know if I'd use that word. There might be something to that sickness, though, because there was something running rampant through that locker room, and apparently Johnson Batamosi, who was out today with Alan Branch, he was listed with this illness, and a lot of these beat guys are writing, like, yeah, it's been going through this locker room the last week, week and a half. So Mike Gillisley, technically, he was out last week with illness.
Really?
Yeah, even though he was another scratch for like the fifth straight week. But there has been something going on there, so maybe he was sick too. Look, that's as bad as I've ever seen him play.
Look, this is how Pittsburgh wins, is if something's not right with the Patriots. And I allow for the possibility. And we've talked about these things. Butler and the coaching staff, Butler and Belichick, Brady and his Guerrero thing and that thing, just injuries and Brady's health. Like, if there's something just sort of lurking there and it's just not a great year chemistry-wise, or, you know, and there's something going on there and they're starting to feel it, that's possible. That's possible. And if they can't get it together, if they play poorly, then fine. They can lose.
You have no respect for the Steelers.
But
you have none.
I don't think that if the Pats lose, it's going to be because of them, because they're not right. There's something wrong with the Patriots, and they can't get their best game out there.
I mean, look.
The Steelers aren't going to force it on them.
I hear what you say about the coaching, but you have so little respect for the Steelers.
I do. How many times eight of the last nine. How am I supposed to respect that team?
Okay, but I respect at least the talent.
I mean, that's like a Buffalo number.
Okay, but I respect the talent.
That's an AFC East team.
But I still look at the talent and say, if they ever sort of put it together on the right day, there's lots of players there.
Sure.
Like, so, to me, and it won't be just because the Patriots blew it. Like, you have zero respect for Pittsburgh.
Zero. I don't. I don't respect them. If we were going into Baltimore, I'd give them a heck of a lot more of a chance. Heck of a lot more. Or going to Denver or something like that. Not Pittsburgh, man. I stopped buying the hype on that team a long time ago. A lot of hype. But again, if the Pats are in a bad way, which I think these things are real that we've talked about, Butler, Guerrero, all this, but I also think that they're overcomable. They're just sort of, you know, little inside distractions that happen all the time and that they can get past like they usually do. And that's how I'm treating that for now. If it's a little bit beyond that, like if it's really affected Butler's play and he's going to suck, then that's an issue. And if Brady is hurt or uncomfortable and he doesn't have his guru there to rub him down and that's pissing him off and he's in a bad way, Andy's hurt, then that's okay. Then we have issues. But if the Patriots are the Patriots, they're not losing this game. I'm sorry.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
High slot, Krug. Right circle, Marchand. Far circle, they score! Brad Marchand just off the far circle, able to thread one home. And David Pastrnak able to fire it in to tie it at two with 1:26 left. Here's Zetterberg, pedals his way in, muscles his way into the right corner. Look out, Nyquist lost his footing and the Bruins will come the other way. Long two-on-one maybe, Krug into the slot. Marchand walks in, backhand, he scores! Brad Marchand able to muscle free from a check. And over at the far post, still controlled it. Drew Howard down and flipped it over the top. A 3-2 overtime stunner for the Boston Bruins here in the Motor City. How about that one?
Really? I mean, they gave up a shorthanded goal to go down 2-1. Then Cassidy pulls the goalie with more than 2 minutes to go. Marchand makes a ridiculous pass to set up Pastrnak. And then I thought the finish on the goal in overtime was ridiculous. For him to be able to control that puck and then lift it like he did, I don't think there are a lot of guys on that team that could come close to doing that.
Bruins back at it tonight against the Capitals. Now it gets real. The Bruins play the way they did last night against the Capitals tonight. They're going to lose 6-0. They haven't beaten the Capitals in 10, 11 games, something like that.
10.
Stretching back 3-4 years or whatever it is.
Yeah, March of 2014.
So get ready for the tushing. You know, unless, I don't know, unless they're really on to something, and if they put up a result tonight, then, you know, it's another going to be another eye-opener for this Bruins team that I think is surprised to this point. Certainly surprised me.
They're favored by 1.5 tonight, the Bruins?
I thought they didn't do goal lines like that anymore.
Did Washington play last night?
Well, the Bruins sure did.
The Bruins did.
Oh, right, yeah. There goes that advantage.
And they got in at all bleep all because they the snow
weather
in Detroit.
Detroit.
Yeah, like, so, I mean, again, this should be a tushing. But if it's not, maybe it's another indication that they're really onto something. Because, again, I think they've done better than we had any right to expect. All right, so there's a slap out there coming my way. We got to figure out who's going to do it, Maz. Pick someone little.
Soucy. Maybe we get Soucy and stand him on top of Howie.
That'll be coming to the off-air show very shortly. Right now, caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 will score $50 in Mass State Lottery scratch tickets this holiday season. You get to decide who gets a bonus with Mass State Lottery's holiday bonus ticket. And if they hit on the bonus ticket, it's worth more than $50. So that's why that's such a great gift. So there you go. There's the giveaway. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line gets that. And I'm going to be getting myself a slap. Maz, want to take a few minutes here before we hit the final word to do a little something on a personal level?
Sure.
Because this will be Maz and I's last show together this calendar year. Between the holidays and vacations and I won't see Maz until January. We won't be on the air until then. And I had meant to do this a couple weeks ago when we had the split and, you know, CBS Radio went bye-bye and we just didn't do it at that time and I wanted to do it at that time, so we'll do it now. We'll do it now and sort of say our thank yous and say some words about the disillusion of CBS Radio and us going to BZ Communications and us sort of internally getting split apart. A lot of the people that we've worked with the last 8-9 years splintering off in different directions and just sort of say our thank yous to those people. And so I just have a short list. I know, you know, the thing about me is I don't know anyone in our building and Maz knows everybody. So I'm just sort of at a disadvantage when it comes to this. But there have been very, you know, people have been really, really important to us the last 8+ years on this program and on this station. Let's start with Chachi Lepret, who, what was his exact title? Promotions?
Yeah, right. Director of Marketing and Promotions, I think it was. Yep.
Someone who's been in the business and been at this station in one form or another for, was it 40 years?
Something like that.
I mean, I remember when I got to BU in 1988 in Miles Standish Hall, you know, go 30 years ago, listening to his Beatles show on the weekends. And I just, and it was, I don't think it was called Breakfast with the Beatles. It might have been called something else, but I remember tuning on the radio and listening to his Beatles show. Back, you know, 30 years ago when I was in college here. And he's been through BCN and through the Sports Hub and just he worked tirelessly on a lot of charitable events. And obviously the promotion and marketing speak for itself, but he was very important to us when it came to Christmas in the city. A real giant in radio, I think, in Boston over the last decades.
Yeah, I mean, Chachi's an institution in a lot of ways. And, you know, obviously he's not going to be coming with us. So it's, you know, to me, the day we learned that was a sad day.
Very tough day. And we're going to miss Chachi Lepret. And he was huge for us. And he deserves a lot of credit for the success of the station the last 8+ years. Jason McKenna, one of our engineers, will not be joining us, who was tremendous. As little as I know about technology, he knows twice as much on the plus side. This guy's incredible. And a guy that worked with him. Is Trent Harder?
Barter.
Barter.
You said Harder.
No,
Barter.
I said Barter with a B.
Barter, like trade. B-A-R-T-E-R. Trent Barter.
Sorry, Trent. Trent Barter. We don't know if he's coming with us or not, do we?
The last time I checked, Trent's status was still uncertain. So I'm hoping we keep him because he, you know, again, like Jason, he and Jason worked hand-in-hand together, and Trent means a lot to the operation, and just as importantly, he's a good guy to work with. And I think that it's going to be a consistent theme here with all these people. You know, in 8+ years, it all came together for us on a lot of different levels for the Sports Hub to become what it has become. And that is not by accident because we had good people. And we had good people on every level, every place.
And Jason and Trent qualify. Jason McKenna and Trent were huge on the technical end and getting us on the air. And all those things that the listeners wouldn't know or necessarily appreciate. I mean, why would you? But it's just all that technical stuff. They were huge. Don McNeil, who was in accounting, who was huge for any of us who had to put in expenses or pay stubs or anything. She was awesome.
Yep. Don is technically our controller, and I always give her something a little extra at Christmas time to make sure that I get something back.
But she was you don't often people in that role don't often stick out to the bean counters, quote unquote. But she was so good and so accommodating that, you know, she's going to be a loss. We're going to miss her. No question about it. And, of course, I'll start with Melissa Sullivan, who was the assistant to our former market manager, Mark Cannon, who I'll get to in a second. But Melissa Sullivan was tremendous in her role and tremendous with Mark and tremendous with us as a liaison between us and Mark Cannon, our market manager. She ran and runs the snappiest, best office pool I've ever been a part of. just tremendous work on that, but just a tremendous person to work with and a great person in the building to have over these last 9 years.
I always thought she was kind of a link for everybody. Like, everybody sort of likes Melissa, can communicate through Melissa. And, you know, and she'll be going with Mark, obviously. So we're going to have to find new ways to communicate with one another.
So Mark's a big one. Mark Hannon was our former market manager, and he's gone across the street, which is, like, really weird now because he's the competition. Really good at his job on top of being a good guy. And just was as important as anyone at this station, as important as anyone at this station on the air or off was Mark Hannon. And, you know, he worked with Mike Thomas, our program director, to sort of craft the station. And I think Mark deserves as much credit, if not more, than anyone for the success of the station the last 8+ years. I remember, as the station started, I had lunch with him. Here was the group. Hannon, Mike Thomas, Gary Tangway, and myself at Johnny's Diner in Newton Center.
Johnny's Luncheonette.
Johnny's Luncheonette in Newton Center. Us four talking about, you know, what do you think about us doing this? What do you think about us launching this? What do you think about, we have Touch and Rich in place for the morning, which again was a brilliant decision by Mark Hannon and Mike and those who made that decision. That was not a no-brainer. Those were rock DJs and a rock sort of guy show that they knew would work in a sports format, and they were right, but not everyone bought into that because that was sort of a leap, and that was just excellent decision-making by Mark Hannon and Mike and everybody else who made that decision. But, you know, just talking about the station, what should we do, and da-da-da, do you want to come join us? They wanted Tangway in the midday. I think Tangway and Gresh did the Patriots Pre at the time, so that was like sort of a natural thing. I remember them talking to me about you coming on and who would you want to do a show with and what would you want to do, and I remember the conversation. I said, Maz, or there's another ex-baseball player who does media here in town that I think would be good. I mean, could you understand what I was driving at there?
Yeah, no, I could understand, and thankfully they picked the right one.
But, you know, and I just remember it sort of hatched from that conversation and that lunch, and that was in, like, I want to say March of 2009. We were up in August of 2009, and by 2010, we were on our way, and we're still sort of there. And it all, I think, Mark Hannon deserves a ton of credit for the judgment that he showed, the liaison. He was the liaison between us and the teams, right? All these teams that have rights agreements with us that we piss off constantly. He's the one that had to put out those fires, right? He's the one who had to deal with the management level on all those teams and stand up for us and defend us and get the teams to accept what we do and how it's not bad for their brand and da-da-da. And he had to put out those things all the time. And I think he did that better than anyone I've ever worked with.
So there are a million cliches when you talk about a place that things work right. And, you know, and I criticize people in sports for saying them all the time. But I think over the last 8+ years here, they've all been true. And so they might sound like cliches. I give you my word that they're not. And that is to say that it started at the top. It filtered down. There was a good culture here. I think it's going to continue going forward. And again, we had good people in a lot of different places, all of whom were willing to cooperate with one another, from Trent and Jason to Don to the on-air people to Chachi to Hannon, all of it. And, you know, it said there's a reason why it worked so well, and that's because we had people that were all willing to do their part.
Okay, so that was CBS Radio. And this previous month or so, we've been in this weird trust thing. We're sort of in between what we were, which was CBS Radio, and Beasley Communications, which begins, or is it Beasley Broadcast? What's the official?
Beasley Media Group Incorporated, okay, BMGI.
See, Maz knows all this stuff, and I fumble around, like, because I just am stupid.
That's why I'm here.
Beasley Media Group. So the next time you hear Felger and Maz together, we'll officially be Beasley.
I believe so.
That's the idea, because Maz and I aren't going to be together till January. So the next time Felger and Maz is fully reloaded and back up, we'll be Beasley Communications. We'll be moving to studios in Dorchester on Morrissey Boulevard, and we're really looking forward to working with Beasley, with the people that we've met and the stuff that they've, you know, as much as they've been able to do. You know, I'm really looking forward to working with them. I think it's going to be great. But it's sort of an end of one era and into the next. And we want to thank everyone that helped us in that previous one. And most of all, thank you, again, the listeners, and indulging us in that segment there. But just for the last 8+ years, the success of this show and this station is all because of you, and we thank you more than anyone.
No, we've had a pretty loyal group. And, you know, even at the Christmas in the City event at Newbury Comics over the weekend, there were people who came up to us and said many nice things. And, you know, one guy in particular said, we know what you guys are about, right? And I thought that it was nice to hear that because sometimes you worry that they don't.
All right, so that's that. Thanks for indulging us on that one. The final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
No one says it like they do. Like they do.
So my question to the people of Boston is, what are you nuts?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody. So with the Red Sox fans still clamoring for Dave Dombrowski to do something, anything, will come the occasional dumb trade idea like this one from Jake and Wellesley today.
Jake and Wellesley. Hi, Jake.
If you get rid of someone like Price and you can tangle him in front of Chicago and say, Joe Madden, hey, do you want him? We can take back someone like Lester, because Lester only has Bogaerts and Bradley, who are both Theo guys. You could dangle one of them in there.
Jake, are the weed shops in our hometown? I live in Wellesley. Where are the weed shops in Wellesley? Are you smoking weed?
Yes.
Why would Chicago give up John Lester, who won them a World Series and is a heart and soul guy, for that loser David Price? Why would they
did
ever do that?
Did you see his numbers last year? 4.33 ERA.
He struggled.
Trending downward.
Yeah, do you think they liked John Lester or,
no, but they
or
also,
not?
They also said at the beginning of the year that they needed a bat for the offseason because they don't have one.
Yeah, what bat are the Red Sox going to give them?
Bradley and Bogaerts are both the
You said bats.
Yeah.
You said bats. Jake, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Yeah, because they've done so much for the Red Sox offense while they've been here.
Just from Lester's standpoint, why wouldn't he just laugh right in their face anyway?
Why would Lester want to? He hates you.
Right.
He hates it here. He got out of here and he won and he, you know. No, it doesn't work on any level. And I don't care what sort of personal relationship Joe Madden has with David Price. If he'd swap out John Lester for David Price, he needs to have his head examined. He's drinking too much wine.
Bradley and Bogaerts, because they need...
A bat?
Bats! Why'd you give him Brock Holt, too? That'll solve their offensive problem.
Ah, poor kid.
Yeah, poor Jake.
Sorry, Jake.
Yeah, we did. We just completely jumped down his throat.
Yeah, we did.
Poor guy. He was smoking a little. He, you know,
he came up with one.
He can't be expected to argue with people who are sober.
So with all the Stanton talk as well, comes the question from you, Felger, today. What does Yankee broadcaster John Sterling, what is his call going to be when Giancarlo hits a home run time and time again this season?
But hold on. Give me your Sterling-Stanton call. Like, what's the...
Nothing really rhymes. I was talking about this on Saturday. Maybe, enjoy some Blantons from Stanton. It's a whiskey. But Giancarlo, nothing. It went Farlow.
Giancarlo. And Stanton is planting another one in the seats.
That one works, yeah. That one's a good one.
I'm going with Stanton is planting.
No, Jimmy nailed it. He texted it to me. It's Giancarlo.
Ah. So that I like.
Back to back, belly to belly.
Judge. I can't believe the Yankees have Judge and Stanton in the same lineup.
Of all the dramatic things I ever saw.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ho, ho, ho! You know, many find it hard to believe I own a sleigh that can fly. But you know what I find hard to believe? The unbelievable offers going on at the winter event.
The Mercedes-Benz winter event is back with incredible offers on the sporty CLA, the thrilling C-Class, the versatile GLA, the safe and secure GLE, the innovative GLC, and of course, the unequaled E-Class. But hurry, because these sleighs are going fast. Visit mbusa.com/winter event. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.